and welcome to episode 47 of season 11 of Movie Minute, the daily podcast where we curry our way through the 2001 award-winning HBO miniseries Band of Brothers, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is John Parker of the Bat Minute. Welcome back to the show, John.
Hey, hey, back again.
Yep, and all three of your episodes that we're dealing with are completely different. It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's quite astonishing. It shows the range of the show, I suppose.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we also are going across 5 minutes as opposed to one.
it's a bit different, isn't it?
Yeah, slightly.
Whenever we've had to pivot on our shows, we'll do a bonus episode about a whole movie, and you forget it's a totally different discipline than doing a minute by minute. It changes your whole perspective.
Hmm. Yes, completely agree. But there are pluses and minuses to doing it that way.
Absolutely.
But this one, the plus is that I'm not going to be doing this for 2.5 years. that's the plus. The minus is it's not a pure minute by minute show.
You might have enjoyed 2.5 years in the same world.
I might have, but think about the number of guests I would have to try and have. right now I have 136 episodes. If I would have done this minute by minute, I think I would have 600 episodes or something like that. That's just, I'm definitely a big fan of Band of Brothers, but I don't know if I'm that big of a fan.
I don't know who would be. That's a tall ask. That's a lot to ask of anyone.
Yes, I mean, I do believe, and I could be wrong, but I do believe this is the longest runtime of a movie by minute show. I believe.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. Yeah.
Okay, obviously I'm not talking about the analysis aspect. I'm talking about the pure minutes on screen. That's what I think. I I could be wrong. Anyone out there, from the movies by minute community who might be have more expertise than I do might know that's not true. But let's put it this way: if I would have done this minute by minute, I'm assuming that it would have broken all records.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, but 136 episodes is also nothing to cry about.
No, that's good going.
I've done a few seasons longer, so that's fine too. So yeah, so episode 47 begins with the local being in shock, and ends with the men taking a position at the farmhouse. So we ended things yesterday with Garcia Webster and Van Klinken basically coming across a local man who's been hiding. And he ended things yesterday by asking them and us, are the Germans gone? And Garcia responds, I think so. But if you see any, let us know.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think that really cuts it in this scenario.
No, probably
you need
not.
To be pretty damn sure.
Yes, I would agree with that sentiment. And then he says, are you here to stay? And they go, mm-hmm, as long as we have to. And then another one goes, yeah, they don't tell us very much anyway. Or feed
it's refreshing us. It's refreshing hearing that. Are you going to stay as long as we have to? And it's positive. Because in this day and age, if you heard a soldier from a country say we're going to stay as long as that would be a worrying thing to hear. It's the opposite here though,
right? Because they're looking at it from the perspective that we are willing to stay here as long as needed in order to rid the world of this tyranny. It makes sense that's the way that they would respond to something like this.
Absolutely.
And then they sort of complain about the fact that they don't really have very much food.
that was funny because I'm in the middle on that. On one hand, it's a bit harsh. It's like, oh god, this guy probably hasn't got a lot of food. But at the same time, everyone just seems to be so happy they just share, because they share stuff with him as well. Don't just take it and give nothing back.
That's true. And then the guy goes thing, and he goes, please wait here. They go, "You see that?" And they say, "I say screw Paris. Hey, don't talk about screwing, all right?" And then Webster says, "They all speak English. They all love us. What a fantastic country."
Weirdly, I've never been, but I know someone who goes quite a bit, and they've told me, oh yeah, like everyone there just basically speaks English all the time. In fact, he was even told, "Oh, don't bother learning the language, buy someone from the country."
Oh well.
It was like, no, it doesn't matter, it's irrelevant.
Right. If it works in Holland, it works, I guess.
Yeah. To be fair, though, to his credit, he learned some Dutch anyway, out of politeness.
Right. And then the guy comes back and hands them a jar, and they thank him, and then he goes, "Are these all ours?" And he goes, "Thanks." And then we see a little kid come out of the shelter, and you know the guy then sits down next to his son, and a cigarette, and the man goes, "Yeah," and then Webster takes something out of his pouch and gives the kid a chocolate bar, and we see
that was really cute. I thought that was really sweet.
We see
as soon as you see the kid,
smile.
You instantly know, oh, the guy isn't suspicious. Like he's you know, above board.
In all fairness, I'm assuming that you and I have both seen many movies where you think a kid is completely innocent, and they're
true.
Not. So it is possible that it wouldn't have been, but
very true. I don't know, there was something about the kid though that was disarmed me, you know.
Yes. Okay. Again, I mean, this is, you know, thankfully this kid is innocent and it's fine, but maybe back then it was easier to trust everyone.
Yeah, we've all been ruined now. We're all cynics.
Yes, that's true. Completely. We see that the kid seems to be enjoying eating this chocolate, and he keeps smiling over and over and over. And the father then says to Webster, "He's never tasted chocolate before."
Oh, bless him. That caught me off guard at first. Yeah, that caught me off guard at first because I was like, well, hang on, in Europe, you know, obviously chocolate's a big deal. But then I thought, oh, hang on, look at the age of the child and think about the war.
Right. It's that's the thing. It's not another question just of the age. It's the fact that they have been under siege.
Yeah, like this kid, he hasn't really, while he's been eating solid foods, he hasn't really known anything like this, you know. It's crazy.
Right.
And they, you know, I imagine getting hold of chocolate was very difficult, you know, the ingredients and whatnot.
Well, the fact that the father knows it's chocolate is pretty good, too.
Yeah. Well, he remembers a time before. The kid doesn't. This is the thing.
Right. But maybe these soldiers are coming to poison the kid. There we go. The cynic in me is going in a different direction once again.
I think this is a time in the world where, you know, if someone was on the Allied side, you could just generally trust them. Generally, not always.
Yeah. there are enough incidents of things that did happen with the Allies.
Yes. That's I had to throw in the caveat there.
Yes.
Generally.
Yes. I completely agree with you on that.
there's always bad within the good, I suppose.
Yes. Okay, and that's just the way it is.
Humans gonna human.
That's right. What can you do about it? But again, it's a nice shot in the middle of this whole, these guys are in the middle of a war, and they've found something good that's going on here.
Yeah. It's a nice little break, and not just like a physical break. It's like an emotional one, you know, because they don't. I imagine they don't get a lot of positivity in their day, and now they're getting to give this little kid a treat, and it's quite sweet.
Right. Well, literally. It's also a way to show them, you know, what are they fighting for?
Yeah. It's like a reminder, because again, they don't really, other than the liberation scene, they don't get to interact with people a lot outside of their circle, because they got to just move on.
Correct. But yeah, you don't know if they really should be getting you know, being in situations where they're interacting with people.
Yeah, it can be a bit dangerous, but it's nice for them to have the reminder, isn't it?
Right.
It'll give them a little push in the morning. When they wake up, they'll remember that kid and how happy he was.
That's right. And, you know, Webster was complaining he didn't have any food, but he's giving away his chocolate. So, yeah.
The kid needs it more.
Well, so, what did they give him? Like olives and pickles or something like that? It looks like...
Probably. I would be very happy with pickles. I would be very upset with olives. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of olives.
I've tried. Either. I've tried so hard to like olives. I really have. Maybe I have a childish palate. I don't know. But I can't. I don't like them. But in a war, you know what? Who cares? Get them down, yeah.
Exactly. That's fair. And then
they'll do you good. They're healthy, you know.
True. True. And then the shot changes. And the camera lingers for a few seconds on a whole bunch of flowers that are it looks like they're blooming, even though this is you know, September. This is, you know, mid-September. Mm. But I think that's part of the beauty of Holland. You know,
They have a lot of flowers and things, don't they? Yeah, they're quite known for that. So maybe this is a specific type that I'm not, because I don't know a lot about flowers. Maybe this one does just stay like that.
Right. And then the camera moves up and we see a whole bunch of Easy Company men riding on tanks to try to get to where they need to get to. And what I find really interesting is, first of all, I think there are six tanks that we see, but the lead tank that has Bull on it, did you see that it has a symbol on the side of it?
Oh no, I didn't notice the symbol.
There is a yellow and black symbol right under the legs of one of them. I can't tell who it is.
Oh yeah.
And what is that a picture of?
I mean, I'm assuming like a buffalo or a bison?
I was gonna say it's a bull, but maybe it is a buffalo or a bison.
Well, it could be a bull, yeah. I thought maybe it wasn't a bull because the back looks slightly different. Like it's like more maybe. Humpy.
Okay, again, it's possible that it is. But if it is a bull, it's great. That bull is sitting on this tank.
yeah. I mean, that would make a lot more sense. So you're probably right. Oh, that's
no.
Cool.
Why would it make sense? It's not his. You know, he's not the driver of the tank.
No, no. You know, but for the visual sense, for the viewer.
Right. Exactly. Men are all looking around. You do have men on the sides that are walking, that are apparently trying to keep guard, including Lieutenant Brewer. And then it's really interesting because we have Bull has like this little packet or this little box, and he goes, "Oh man, you know what? I hate eggs." Now, is that supposed to be like ready to eat eggs or something like that?
I think it's something like that, yeah. Because they absolutely would not have a lot of access to actual eggs.
Right.
So I think they've just, you know, they've given them some kind of ready made or like a powder form or something that you mix.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe with water.
That's right. And then one of the guys goes, "Hey, Sarge, you can have this one." And he gives them something else. You know, instead, and Bull just looks at it, trying to figure out what it is. And then we see that they're passing a sign that says that they're entering Noonan or Noinen, however you want to pronounce that. And Webster notices it, and Webster goes, "Vincent Van Gogh was born in Noinen." Cobb looks at him and goes, "Yeah, so what?" And Hubler goes, "They sure teach a lot of useful stuff at Harvard." Which I'm still not sure if he's making fun of Webster here or in awe of the fact, because, you know, they talk about the fact that Webster, you know, was college educated or university educated, and just the idea of
at the time that would have been quite a bit different. Like not everybody would have had that.
Correct. No, but is he joking and saying to him, you know, that this is not useful information, or is he saying, "Wow, that's amazing that you learned that in Harvard, and it is useful for us now."
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Because I mean, the fact that he knows that Van Gogh was born there, okay. Van Gogh has already been, I think Van Gogh died in the 20s, didn't he? Pretty sure.
Around then, it's been a while. Yeah.
No, but I'm saying it's not that long before then. I mean, this is 1944. No, sorry. No, all right. Forget that. He died in 1890. Maybe I'm thinking of some. Oh,
Oh,
no. I
I
was
thought it
thinking
was
of
later too.
Picasso. Sorry, I was thinking of Picasso. Picasso lived much longer. Yeah, okay.
That
No, that.
makes sense.
Right. Picasso died in 1973. Okay. All right. So it's not Picasso.
Well, it was a good idea.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, Van Gogh died 50 years earlier. So yeah. But again, we give Webster credit for knowing that he was born in New England.
But I think to this, a group of soldiers, knowing that information would make you kind of like a nerd.
Right. Yeah, but you look at it from another perspective that it gives them perspective of where they are and what they're doing. And
Yeah, it's another connection
it
to the
also gives
real
us,
world again, isn't it?
that's right. It gives us that perspective also, because we look at it and we're like, oh wow. Okay, so these guys are in the same place where Van Gogh, they're just not in this random town. They're in a place where Van Gogh was born. That's amazing.
But it's a bit like the kid, isn't it? It almost, because it reminds them of the real world, it almost reminds them what they're fighting for again. Like, oh yeah, this isn't just some crazy thing that's going on. Like, this is real. This is affecting things.
And it works because of the way that they explain these things to them. So I just want to go back a second to the chocolate. So the chocolate that Webster gave the boy is what's known as a D-ration bar. The letter D, not like duration.
Oh, yeah.
The
I
D.
did notice it was very unique looking, so I assumed it
Right.
was some kind of
And they were actually supposedly really, really hard. And that they apparently tasted a little better than a boiled potato. So the idea was that you're supposed to have this in an emergency.
Yeah, was it like long lasting? Is that why the flavor was a little bit
Yeah, and they say it was also very, very difficult to swallow, and it was not easy to eventually pass.
Oh, this poor child.
This is going to be his first experience with chocolate. I think this is going to be a kid who's going to grow up not liking chocolate.
Yeah, never ate it again. Never again. Nah, you know what? I think he's just grateful for anything at this point that isn't olives.
Eat the olives, don't eat the chocolate. Wait, I mean, but again, it's very funny because as far as we're concerned, it tells us that the maybe Webster just didn't want that chocolate bar and said, all right, I'm just gonna give it to the little
Oh, that's the cynic again coming out. There you
Well, when you know that the chocolate bar apparently tasted like crap and was hard to eventually crap,
go.
it sort of makes sense.
Oh, I think even the soldiers, even if it's not that nice, I think they're grateful to have it, you know? It reminds them of home in one minuscule way, even if it's terrible.
Right. True. And there is a yellow bull that is painted on the on that tank,
Oh.
and it's a British tank. It's a British Cromwell tank, which is
Oh,
known as an
okay.
A27M.
Did they name it after Oliver Cromwell? Because that's terrible.
That I don't know.
I hope not. They probably did.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, I like the way that they do that. And as the tanks are rolling down the road, we see a woman barely clothed, holding on to something. We're not really sure, and she has her shaved head. So again, this is a connection to what we saw yesterday. And the men are just staring. They don't know what to make of it. They don't know how to react to this type of thing besides just moving on, that type of thing.
Yeah, I feel sorry for her because, I mean, the implication here is they probably kicked her out of the town.
Yeah.
And she's just
she's been banished.
Trying to find somewhere. Yeah. That's horrible. It's a shame. Assuming she wasn't completely, involved, assuming she was
right.
put in this position. Yeah, it's not nice.
Yeah. And then Hashi pulls out something from his pocket and throws it to one of the other guys. And he goes, "Mel it." And he tosses it to him. Again, maybe they're trying to get rid of another chocolate bar.
Oh, no. I thought that was really, really nice because, again, I think they're sort of stuck in the middle, aren't they? They don't want to completely help her out because that looks bad to the locals. But they help her out as much as they can. Like, here's some food. And she's got a child,
Right.
So.
But again, the
that's
question
the best
is,
they can
what
do.
Are they giving her? Are they giving her, a chocolate bar? Are they giving her the eggs that we were talking about or something? I mean, obviously, it's something that's going to be helpful to her.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was like eggs or something like that. Just something to keep her going. Till she finds her way, wherever she's going, whatever she's doing.
Right. Okay. Again, it makes sense that they would give them that.
Yeah, because they're there to help people at the end of the day.
They're
people,
people
who might have been kicked
they're
out.
They're also they have to be careful not to take sides. That's the thing.
Yeah, it's a really difficult position to be in, isn't it?
Yeah. Right, and the character of Mellet is played by an actor named Alex Sabga Brady, who only has 13 credits on IMDb.
Oh wow!
And most of these are mostly uncredited, even. So it's possible that he is not specifically a an actor. Okay, so he's actually he has credits in both Star Wars Episode 8 and 9 as a carpenter.
That's interesting. Maybe that's more what he does, and then they needed a guy.
Right, and part of his credit on Band of Brothers is that he's an extra special ability American.
Huh.
Again, I don't really know what that means.
No, I was going through my mind there to try and figure out what that would be.
And what's interesting is that the two episodes that he's listed on for that are not the episodes that he is in this series. So he's the carpenter, or I guess he's an expert in two different later episodes, and he's not in either of those episodes.
Very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Finding out about actors that you like the I don't want to say the smaller roles because that sounds a bit insulting, but you know what I mean. The parts you don't see as much.
Right. Exactly. And IMDb doesn't really share very much about him. Yeah. So can't really go that deep into it. He is also
good to know. He's right. Probably he'd be happy to know that you've shined a light on him.
Yes. Yes. Why not? I have no problem doing that.
Yeah.
Because he goes over and gives this woman on the side of the road some extra food for her and her baby.
Exactly. It's a good thing to do.
Yeah. He just hands it to her and she's grateful and kisses her baby as everyone just keeps walking by. And she sort of smiles at them. But the men are just
I think it's as much
staring.
Of a smile as she can manage in this moment.
That's right. The men are just looking and staring. They're not really sure what to make of this either.
Yeah, I wonder if any of them attempted to say, should we pick her up and like give her a ride? I know that wouldn't be sensible, but
No.
your first thought would be, oh, we've got to help this woman. Yeah.
Well, we're going to help her by throwing a, giving her some chocolate.
Yeah, that'll anything to just keep her going for one more day, maybe. Because she's where's she going? It's difficult. Where's she walking to? She has to pick somewhere. She might go to somewhere even worse.
It's very possible, but then it brings up the whole question of the dilemma that we discussed in Saving Private Ryan about the family. Is it better for the men to take the children to the next town that they're going to, or let them go with their parents on their own somewhere else?
Yeah.
Like,
There's no
what's
easy
safer?
answer.
I don't know. No, definitely not.
Luckily, I've not had to be in that position to make that decision.
Correct. Correct. But you see, that's why we watch movies, to give us food for thought as to what we would need to do if we are ever in this type of position.
Absolutely.
And then we see one of the tanks passing another tank. And the tank that we're on just stops, but Lieutenant Brewster keeps walking. And then one of the guys goes, "Hey, get a load of General Patton." Someone says, "What the hell is he doing? Makes quite a target, don't he?" And then Bull screams, "Lieutenant!" And then Brewster turns around and gets shot. And someone screams out, "Sniper!"
Well,
And
even if they weren't expecting any enemies, my first thought was, why is the lieutenant in the middle of the road? That can't be a sensible thing to do.
but
Come
this is the
on.
same guy that we
Snipers
were
could be
talking about.
anywhere.
This is the same guy we were talking about on Friday that wanted to be tapped on the leg to jump out of the airplane.
Yeah.
So, they're
It's
showing.
dumb, but also, I suppose they're feeling a little bit too safe.
Yeah.
Because you shouldn't just be standing in the middle of the road, even
No.
if your intelligence says there's no one around.
Correct. Correct. And at this point, everyone just springs into action as as he's on the ground. And it's great how he like has turned he turned around. And I believe that I remember hearing that the fact that he turned around is what saved his life.
Probably, yeah. Because
Because it
they
would
would
have
have
been
just got
shot.
him like dead on. Yeah.
Yeah. So the fact that Bull screamed out at him saved his life. And at this point they see a German half track that's on the side, and someone screams, "Clear the track!" And all the guys get off of the tank as quickly as possible, because the tank is getting ready to go shoot. And they all run for cover, except for Bull, who runs towards Lieutenant Brewster to go help him. And Lieutenant Brewster keeps grabbing his I believe it's his jugular for that he got hit at.
Oh, it's grisly.
Yeah. And then the tank starts shooting at the half track, eventually hits it, and we see a few German soldiers get out that are on fire. But the men just keep firing on them. And Bull just starts screaming for the medic. And he goes, "Medic up front, medic up front." And all of Bull's men don't really know what they should be doing at this point. They're all in this trench. And they're debating between themselves, what are they supposed to do? One of them goes, "What should we do?" And one of them goes, "Keep down, stay still." And they're really not sure what they should be doing, but at this point, Bull comes closer to them and starts screaming at them and goes, "Keep moving, get up, keep moving."
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I mean, obviously, I've had no training. I wouldn't know what to do. Is moving a good idea? Is that exposing yourself? I would panic.
No, but if you're staying in the same place, you're a sitting duck. You
Well,
gotta
that's
move
the
around.
thing. Yeah, I suppose that's why you have these ranks in the military, because there's a guy above you who knows better to say, move, move.
That's true. That's very true. And then we see the medic as he's attending to Brewster. The medic gets shot in the leg, and he falls down, and he also starts screaming, this whole
Oof.
thing.
Of all the people to get shot, it's like we're going back to Saving Private Ryan and my scenes there. You know,
Yeah.
the goddamn medic's been shot. Oh.
That's right.
That's the last thing you want.
That's right. And I'm pretty sure it's Webster just starts shooting at the Germans, and he's actually hitting some of them as they're trying to figure out what to do. And Bull grabs Hashi and picks him up and starts moving him and just goes, "Move, move, Keep moving. He'll shoot a stationary target. Move! So, again, what he's basically saying is that if you stand in one spot, they're obviously going to shoot you. So you have to constantly be on the move until you are in a place where you know you are safe.
I suppose, especially when you don't really 100% know where it's all the fire's coming from at this point.
Right.
Because they know there's these guys right in front of them. There might be more.
Right. And I do love the shot of Hashi running. Because we see in slow motion, he's looking at what happened. And we see all of these guys now run across the field looking for cover. And, you know, they're Bull is showing them that they're supposed to be going not in a straight path. Which is also great. It's the way to do it. You got a zig and a zag.
Yeah. I imagine that is the done thing, I would assume.
Yeah. Exactly. And then someone screams, the farmhouse, deploy right. And they eventually get into some cover around the farmhouse, and Bull is still giving them orders. And he tells one of the guys, take the right side. He goes, right. He goes, go. And, you know, we get some nice shot of the maneuvers that these guys are all doing. Mm-hmm. As the way that they're trying to cover one another with everything that's going on. You know, Hubler leaves a group of them and goes to the end of the porch. And then, you know, as he's there, they hide behind a brick wall. And Hubler hits the guy next to him on the arm and goes, go on, go. And he gets up, and as they start moving across to the next part of the field, that's where this segment ends.
Ooh, and while they're at the wall as well, you can hear like loads of dogs barking.
Yes.
And I'm sure it's just local dogs or something, but my first thought was, oh no, I'd be worried that they're German dogs. They were known for using dogs.
Yeah, they're probably locals.
I hope so. I hope it's just dogs barking at the noise. But you're a soldier, you've got to worry about these things. Germans were renowned for having the scary dogs.
Yes. Rightfully so. There's a reason for that.
Yes. Unfortunately.
Yes. Exactly. All right. And that's how we end this 5-minute segment. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
No, I'm noted out.
All right. You are noted out. That's good. All right. So today's segment is a segment called Oh Brother, where my guests will talk about their five top movie brothers / siblings.
Mm-hmm. This was surprisingly, I came up with this really quickly. It was easy because there were so many great choices, but I was like, okay, I'm going to try and pick ones that other people might not have picked, except for maybe one or two. So I cast the net wide, and I've gone for different genres again and different vibes.
Okay.
So my again these are kind of interchangeable. I've ranked them, but you can kind of move some of them around. So first off at five, I've got the movie Sing Street, which has a brotherly sort of part of it, and Sing Street is an Irish movie from a few years ago. About kids who make a band, essentially. It's a sort of coming of age story, and that's great. They make like an 80s pop group at school and stuff. I'd recommend that to people. Next up, I think maybe people might have picked this one. I have gone with From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yes, it's been chosen.
I thought it probably would, but it's a great choice. I think. Because it's, I mean, I'm sure people have seen it by now, so I won't spoil it though. But there's a great twist that you don't see coming on your first viewing, where it completely shifts genre halfway through the movie.
Right. Again, I agree with the fact that it's a good choice, but I can't believe Tarantino and Clooney as brothers. That's my problem.
Yeah. Some brothers are like that though. They're just totally different people. You know?
Correct.
So I can, well, and also Tarantino, he's not the best actor in the world, but in this he's quite good. In his other roles, he's trying too hard. In this, The character is meant to be just bizarre, so it works for me. It
Okay.
works. Then next, I've gone with a total tonal shift again. I've gone with a movie with much more believable brothers, twins. Like, who doesn't believe that those two are brothers? Come on.
Well, come on, Danny DeVito's all the crap. And there you go. His mother must have eaten a lot of that D-Ration chocolate.
I think this is, in a weird way, this is another like an underrated movie because people don't really mention it now. It doesn't really come up in conversation. I think it still holds up. I think it's really fun. It's absurd. Of course, it's absurd. That's the whole point. Although I was a bit worried they were talking about doing a sequel a few years ago. I think they've dropped it now. They were going to do triplets,
Yeah, I'm glad they
and
dropped
their yeah, and their other brother was going to be like Eddie Murphy, I think. Which,
Oh,
okay,
God.
that's kind of funny on paper.
Only on paper, yeah.
Yeah, I think in practice it wouldn't have worked, but you know. And now a big tonal shift. Again, appealing to the wrestling nerd in me is from a couple of years ago, there was a wrestling movie, The Iron Claw. And that is about the family, the Von Erichs. And it's one of those you don't have to be a wrestling fan to watch this. Like it appeals to everyone. It's more just about family and things like that. And basically the family, there's a sort of running thing in wrestling that they're cursed. Because the worst things just happen to them all the time, constantly. Two of them commit suicide and things like this, you know. So it's a weepy. It's a weepy if you watch it. Very tragic. But it ends on a kind of positive note for the future of this family. Because the surviving one helped make the movie.
Okay.
But make sure you're in the right mood if you watch it, people. Don't go in expecting fun and wrestling japes. You know, it's no. It's I don't think they had a single nice moment until the end. And then my number one, which I think people probably have picked as well, the Blues Brothers. It's got to have been selected, right?
Yeah, of course, of course.
Of course. It's a classic, and it holds up. I watch it quite regularly. It holds up. It's such a good blend of like it's funny, but it's not like just a comedy. Like it works in a dramatic way, it works in an action way. Like it's got one of the best car chases you've ever seen. Incredible movie and loving brothers.
That is very true. That is a great list. Thank you very much for
Thought I'd mix
right.
it up a little bit. Couple of interesting choices in there.
Okay, good. Yeah. So now we will play the daily game of Name That World War II Movie, and let's see if your streak continues that you get something else that we've talked about before.
Oh, fingers crossed.
Let's see what you get. Okay, this is a movie from 1970 about pilots that tries to get out of the war by trying to be declared insane.
Oh, whoa. Oh crap, yeah. That was the thing that's tipped me. Oh, what's that called? No, it's not that one. No, I'm not gonna guess that. If I guess that, I'll be wrong. I've seen this. I've seen this. You got any other hints? I can picture it. I
It
can
was
picture it.
based, it's based on a book by Joseph Heller.
Oh, Catch 22?
Yes, very good.
Yes. I'm happy I got that because I've only seen it once, but I did enjoy that. Well, if you can enjoy a war movie, you know what I mean. You appreciate them. I don't know if you enjoy them. Like
exactly.
I'd say one of my favorite movies. I'd say, well, Schindler's List. It's like, I can't say I like it, if that makes sense.
Right. It's very
I don't
true.
have fun when I'm watching it, but yeah.
Correct. Understandable. All right, so John, would you like for one last time to once again tell people where they can find you?
Yes, this time I will plug my other podcast. if you like things that are completely different to this, I have one about the queer rock musical Hedwig and the Angry Inch, called Hedwig Inch by Angry Inch. That's not minute by minute. It's Blu-ray chapter by chapter. I finished it a long time ago, but I occasionally pump out a random bonus episode. And by the time you hear this, there should be a couple of new bonus episodes out. So check that out.
All right. Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to moviearoundminute@movierob.net. So, John, is there anything else you want to say about Band of Brothers before we sign off today?
No, just thank you for inviting me, because it was great to revisit the show, even in just the one episode. And now, I mean, I'm gonna have to watch the whole thing again. I wasn't going to. I was like, no, you know what? I'll just watch the one. It'll be fine. And no, I've been bitten by the bug again.
There you go. I'm happy to hear that. That is part of the part of the goal here, is to get people to rewatch it in order to honor the story, honor the men.
Absolutely. And this time I can, for the first time ever, this time I can watch it and then go straight into the Pacific. That'll be good.
There you go. And now you can start listening to a podcast about it also.
Yes, exactly. Oh, well, it's the season for it. It is. It's the resurrection. Maybe your show will make it so popular again that they make a new one.
Again, we're not sure if we want to make a new one, but yeah.
well, not a remake or anything, but a spiritual sequel again. A spiritual successor like Pacific is, connected but not the same.
Okay, I'll talk with Tom and Steven and see what they have.
It's happening, people.
There you go. All right, so I'll be back tomorrow with another guest. But until then, Curhee.